so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
waiting for your question, and then that's the but you get all the other stuff, whatever all the other stuff we're gonna do, like that's on the house.
But yeah, I kind of tend to think about it is that it's like this. When I was in Myanmar and was exploring the Nat Pwe rituals of animism in Mandalay, there was a drinking god there named Umanjo. And he's a kind of horseman, and he is a wacky character with all sorts of stories behind him. And he drank a lot, and there would be these ceremonies where the shaman, the transvestite shaman known as Nat Kada, who are the wives of the Nat spirits, those 37 sort of pseudo-historical figures of legend that predate Buddhism in Burma, shall I say. There's this drinking god, right? And so you go into a ceremony of Umanjo, their drinking god, and they say that if the god is truly present, then he will drink all the alcohol from your belly. And I actually had this experience. I was asked by a Burmese shaman to not just take a sip of beer, but to drink an entire liter full of Mandalay beer. And I was on an empty stomach, had been wandering around this festival out in the dust for an entire day without eating or drinking or anything. And I had this liter of beer, and I felt no intoxication whatsoever because Umanjo, the god, was present. The god was there with us to drink the alcohol right out of my belly. Well, similarly, perhaps many artists and politicians and leaders and all different types of people who are somehow inspired, who are have something in them that is great, the gods drink the alcohol or the drug or whatever poison it is that they like to take right out of their system. So this is why, say, give me an example of, I mean, Billie Holiday took a lot of heroin, for example, I think.
Well, of course, the response to this would be, but think how much they could have done if they weren't doing the drugs and alcohol.
Oh, well, think about how little they might have done if they weren't taking the drugs and alcohol.
Well, there's, I mean, of course, that also.
Ovid says there is no poetry among water drinkers. Have you heard that expression before?
Pretty good. No, I never heard that.
Yeah, well, that's a quote that I know of from Ovid, and I think that in the ancient times, the definition of wine was more expanded. In fact, I think it was like, what is the German Purity Act, which sounds like some sort of Nazi thing, but actually it was a drug law, I think, that was perhaps the first drug law instituted in Germany in, I think, like the early 16th century, like maybe 1506 or 1509, I forget, but the main point was that the law was there to prohibit mixing other types of herbs, specifically nightshades like henbane and belladonna, into wine and beer. So they called it the German Purity Act. But I think in ancient times, you know, I mean, the
is that because of absinthe that mixtures were tried?
Absinthe is much later, but absinthe is an example of an alcohol with a different, you know, psychoactive wormwood. What is the active alkaloid in wormwood? I forget.
Don't know.
Yeah, well, I forget too. So, but I know it's wormwood, and there is a specific
yes.
There might be Thujones actually that's in wormwood, but maybe I'm confusing that. I'm sure that many of the listeners here are madly scribbling away the psychobotanical secrets of wormwood and Artemisia absinthia, I believe, is what the wormwood plant is by its scientific name. Well, at any rate, yeah, it has, I believe, Thujones, but it doesn't matter what you call it. I'm not a
What are the psychoactive effects?
I don't know, because I don't drink absinthe. And despite rumors to the contrary, I don't do all sorts of drugs. I do certain ones,
surely,
but not all of them.
Were you accused of being
drug-addled? Yes, I've been accused of being very drug-addled. But I may be addled by certain drugs, but not all of them. And certain ones maybe I might try, but I still never have. So, and certain ones I just do not do. I do not take marijuana. I cannot abide with it.
Ah, well, yeah. I stopped. I put mine away.
But I think, though, if the inspiration is flowing, whatever the type of inspiration it is, that the drugs are not a obstacle to that. They might not even harm you. They might do you very little harm as long as you are walking right with the Lord, so to speak. So let's see. Crawling on our naked bellies, we proud bootlickers who demean ourselves to live our mighty dreams, we'd be nobler and happier as Eden's fruit pickers instead of debasing ourselves for stupid schemes. Across the green grass and the sparkling streams, the legendary hooded holy man levitates alone, and viewed from a healthy distance, it really seems that he gnaws the bits of flesh from a human bone of some unlucky cannibal who is heard to groan, "All for one are doomed! Death to human culture!" The wretches' whispered curses do solemnly intone the will of the extraterrestrial karmic vulture, encircling with gently tilted wing the sinking log of logic whereupon we crawl while thinking.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. So what else is on tonight's agenda, Hal?
Well, I don't know. I'll probably close her up at the top of the hour and wend my way homeward.
Are you not wending your way to a youthful cartoonist hootenanny?
No, not this night, but I will be when my schedule is put back together.
Do they addle pate themselves in their cartoonist schadenfreude?
They may be listening right now, and
they might be taking offense to my satirical.
You are curious, and it's interesting. Well, you know, how are you going to describe the work of a group of people that they're dedicated? They're producing some interesting stuff, and it's going to see publication. And so,
you know, but there are many. Scurrilous rumors that accompany the careers of underground cartoonists. You know that.
And so do they. They know quite a lot about comics, even obscure ones that I didn't know anything about.
Oh. Do you know who George Carlton is? Wait, I think it's Carlton, maybe. It's not Carlton, but Carlton. I have a book.
What did he draw?
I have the book called The Smithsonian Book of... Oh. I guess it's comic book comics, but it was early comic book from the 1940s, and it's very, very surreal. I'll have to show it to you.
Yeah, 1940s aren't that early in the history of comics. But.
Well, all right. But I think that comic books were starting to come out in the 1940s, and there were newspaper comics earlier than that.
They had the idea of binding together bound collections of strips from Sunday newspaper comics, which were the lineal precursors of comics.
Well, okay. So that's what I always thought, is the newspaper comics came before actual comic books.
Well, the newspaper comics were magnificent. They were... The comic book section was huge and thick, and it spread out over a large space once you unfolded it. You know, and the graphic richness was great. The cartoonists that were collected by Hearst and used in Hearst publications... And they had people like Winsor McCay, and, you know, they always had great auteurs, newspaper comics. I would Count Hal Foster in there, certainly Milton Caniff, is that how you say his name? For a while before he disgraced himself, of course, Al Capp had a great thing going with Lil Abner.
How did he disgrace himself? I like Pogo personally.
Walt Kelly was pretty damn good. Beautiful drawing.
Yes, beautiful drawings. And funny stories, too.
Yes, that's right.
Hold on. I'm trying to look this up because I think I have the name wrong. That's terrible. I should remember everything.
Well, you're speaking of a cartoonist or a
I'm
comic book artist?
I'm speaking of a cartoonist that I really like, but I like earlier this evening, I could not remember the Zechariah Sitchin books, even though I have... I have listened to them as audiobooks, which probably contributes to my faulty memory, actually. But I've listened to these audiobooks over and over again. And they have so much detail in them, these Zechariah Sitchin books. Whether these details are accurate or not is way beyond my level of scholarship. I can't comment on whether Zechariah Sitchin's theories are correct or not. I think that orthodox, shall we say, when we refer to scholars of antiquity, do we call them orthodox or do we call them mainstream or pro, what do you call that?
It depends on where you stand. There were Jewish scholars of antiquity who would fall into the category of orthodox at the present time or be the most similar to it. Flavius Josephus, other writers.
Yeah, I'm still trying to look this up. He did a something called like the soft boiled. He wrote a comic strip or called the soft boiled fireman's button, I think. So I'm trying to search for that. Yeah. Yeah, this is not easy. This is not easy. I am desperately searching for this comic book. And
but you are doing so in tranquility.
No, I am doing it in tranquility, but I have finally located the name of the comic book. It was called Jingle Jangle Tales. Are you familiar with that?
Was it in England or something? Or was it?
I believe it was an American comic book.
In the 50s or earlier?
I think earlier than that. I think in the 30s or 40s. And I believe that... so I'm looking it up now. It was a... I'm gathering information. Okay. My memory did serve me right. George L. Carlson was the author of the Jingle Jangle Tales. That was the name of the cartoonist.
Okay. And what were they? Animal characters?
Jingle Jangle Comics was a 10-cent bi-monthly, 42-issue, 68-page, later reduced to 52-page, children's-oriented American comic book magazine published by Eastern Color under the Famous Funnies Incorporated imprint between February 1942 and December 1949. The series featured mixes of human and cartoon animal material. The series was edited by Stephen Douglas. George L. Carlson,
animal
principal
stuff.
Artist. Yes, but the thing that distinguishes Jingle Jangle Tales is how surreal and bizarre the images and the setups and the storyline is.
How about the character?
Well, it's just nonsensical. It's just there's no. I don't want to say there's no rhyme or reason, but the absurdity runs high, but yet the craftsmanship, the drawings are excellent, and the wit seems, though highly absurd, seems not without thoughtless, but rather meditated. Okay, I am going to look for an image that all of the listeners are going to appreciate very much. They're going to
hear this image.
Well, I am going to show you an image from Jingle Jangle Tales somehow.
Oh. Did you migrate there from reading the pulp science fiction magazines?
No, I've been aware of Jingle Jangle Tales for a long time.
Were you exposed to them as a young person?
No, I found it in a book that I have, which is a collection of Smithsonian early comic book comics. It's a Smithsonian publication showing these showing the best of early comics, and I guess maybe you don't think 1942 to 49 is early, but my impression is that mostly comics were in newspaper comics previous to the 40s, and that long-form storytelling wasn't done so much in comics, but rather was written out, and the pulps kind of occupied the position of the comics. But then the comics took over with illustrations, and the pulps went out of style. Here we have a story called The Pint-Sized King and the Three Jelly Beans. And you can see, the listeners can see that the king is very small and it looks something like a teapot.
Are these tiny characters?
Well, the jelly beans are certainly tiny. They are sort of pickle-like shape.
And they're actually jelly beans?
Well, their bottom half is jelly beanish because each has a different color, as though they were wearing a kind of tight leotard or something. And they're green, they're red, and blue. And the king is bald and has a small crown on his head and a quizzical kind of Ready Kilowatt kind of face. And I'm sure everybody knows the Ready Kilowatt reference.
Yes, we all remember him.
And indeed, does Ready Kilowatt still preside over the Midwest as an advertising icon?
I don't know. Maybe there some Ready Kilowatts too large to have removed are
sure,
still
there. I'm going to let you look at this illustration here for a second.
All right.
Yeah, you can try to describe it to the listeners who are doubtless just pining away for more information about the
interesting cartooning style. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great page.
I think so. I mean, I like it.
The pint-sized king and the three jelly beans. Yes, he's pint-sized because he's a part teapot, or
he's
pitcher.
He's part teapot. Yeah, he's a pint-sized teapot.
1 pint.
That is one thing I remember about Jingle Jangle Tales is that a lot of inanimate objects are anthropomorphized. So there's a lot of, of characters who are part household object and part, in this case, nobility. A very pint-sized king. Are we having a little bit of zither? Or is this a zither, or is this a...
It's a guitar.
Oh.
Well, played by Robbie Basho.
Why can't we hear a little bit of zither music about now, Hal?
Well, the zitherian breezes may not be blowing in our direction.
The zither goes whither it will.
Whither the zither goes
yonder and zonder. Okay, here's another jingle jangle comics. They were 10 cents only back in August of 1942. This one doesn't have a title story, but we see a very peppy looking young boy under an umbrella, under a storm, with an indeterminate green friend.
Well, I wonder how the first one resolved with the messengers that the king sent out. What they brought him back. His desire was to expand his kingdom, which he felt was too small and containing him and keeping him at a small size.
Well, maybe. Well, here, this is a pretty good page as well. It shows a unicorn skipping rope under the moon. The Moonstruck Unicorn.
I didn't know they could do that.
Yes, this is called The Moonstruck Unicorn and the Worn Out Shadow. That's a very nice title. Because when unicorns in uniforms wear out their shadows. All right, once upon a time.
They shouldn't wear uniforms.
But unicorns do wear uniforms. Once upon a time. I can't really read this. They really, it's shameful.
I've noticed that the words kind of have faded on those pages.
Well, they've reproduced these comic pages at a very low resolution. Somebody at Google should be fired for this.
But also the black. Well, maybe they weren't interested in taking up the file space, so the comics are still being disrespected.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a policy at Google that if nobody is reading a specific comic book, and I don't think many people are reading Jingle Jangle Tales these days, which is sad, then Google deprecates it. That's the 2.0 word, deprecation. They're deprecating the Jingle Jangle Tales and not allowing them to be enjoyed in their full high resolution glory as they should be. But this is an interesting, definitely an interesting illustration here. Looks like children are taking a bath with a. Might be an extraterrestrial. Definitely might be a little green.
Good Lord, what do kids get up to?
Yeah, and they're Bob. No, what they're doing is they're not taking a bath. It's Halloween, and they have gotten into the apple bobbing tub, and one little girl has taken off her clown mask, and she's looking...
Clown mask.
Uh-huh, and she's kneeling before the bobbing tub, and she looks like she's very... eagerly, you know, and almost obediently looking on as this self-indulgent boy has caught an apple in his teeth while the little green or gray from Zeta Reticuli, you know, I'm sure you've read about or maybe know more about it, just reading about how fairy tales that with the incidents of the fairies taking children and returning yes. changelings to the doorstep.
Yes.
But this is a like an earlier version of the abduction tales that we hear today.
Yes. And you end up with, an elf child instead of your child.
Right.
Who's so been raised by you, but maybe a sleeper, you know, ready to go into action.
You mean like a Russian sleeper?
In a way, for the elf kingdom instead of humans, you know, if put into action.
Why don't you take a look at this Jingle Jangles cover from, I'm not sure if it's 1942 or 44 or when it's from, but they were doing this stuff around
now. That you? Does have a sort of 40s look. Yeah. In fact, I see the signature down here, but it's not.
It's
very
George large. Carlson is the comic book illustrator.
It doesn't look like it says that, but that's because the fidelity is so poor.
It's terrible what they're doing with Google these days, isn't
uh-huh.
it?
Well, at least there's some record of it, and it could be restored. The big blog of kids' comics.
Oh, is there a blog of children's comics?
Jingle Jangle Tales, Alabama and His 40 Fleas. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Is that like...
God, all this effort.
All this effort for what?
To create these stories.
Yeah.
And what's this? A Netflix film?
I don't know. They're including stuff that is clearly an advertisement. They're just, you know, you put in a search word and you
All right,
get...
this has to be during the World War II.
Well, it is from World War II.
Because he's handing a ration card over at the gas station.
Yeah.
A fairy tale, then.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just fairy tale reality for you, handing over your ration card at the gas
station. Well, fairy tale land is at war, too. We're all in this together.
This is... Right. Well, this is... this seems to me to have about not much less regard for the sanctity of fairy tales than an R. Crumb comic strip. I mean, handing the ration card over, like, what a wonderful childhood experience. Here I am. There's a curfew on.
It's what the grown-ups do, and the child wants to be a grown-up.
Oh, what a terrible mistake. A confused child.
Well, today everyone wants to be a teenager. Nobody wants to be a grown-up. Unless you're basically a child who is not grown up, like me, because I always want to be a grown-up.
I'm confused already.
The child wishes to be a grown-up. The child doesn't wish to be Robin. The child wishes to be Batman, as Jules Pfeiffer pointed out. The child is small and lacks power, and the adult is all-powerful.
Well, how many children wish to be Richard III?
Well, I you have a broad spectrum of children. There might be a few out that did. But okay. The deal is that the...
I have a poem now about children. Will you indulge me one more time, Hal?
Certainly.
Okay. This is a poem about... This is the... we're coming right up on it. Here we are. At once, all the world's children open countless eyes to dream, gaze upward, and travel beyond the earth. All their young thoughts reflect like stars in the skies. Oh, the heavens celebrate each child's special worth. Infantile joy invokes the curious mind primeval, inviting the innocent to wonder and to think of a shared destiny, man's ultimate retrieval from the mad destruction at extinction's brink. Compassion shall prevail, and never shall we vanish. Please forgive how our ancestors were once hunted by dinosaurs in lost eons before we grew mannish. Alas, we evolved while the predators were stunted. It's long been said that only the sweet shall survive. Will our future be demolished by the past we contrive? So, you know,
it's an interesting question.
Well, what are they playing next to us?
This is what I'm constantly contending with, the thin walls and the loud music coming through them,
right,
which is picked up by the microphones here.
How about the cat who walked through walls? Do you know this story?
Was that a Robert Heinlein
that
story?
It is a Robert Heinlein story. You know, I read A Stranger in a Strange Land, and I thought it was just a fabulous book. And ever since then, I have tried to pick up Robert Heinlein books of different titles, and I cannot get through them. I just can't deal with it. I don't understand. Was he a one-hit wonder, or are there certain Heinlein books that I should be reading? And
well, he grew more conservative in his later years, but he had an ingenious mind. You can overdose on him because his viewpoint, his political viewpoint, is unchanging. But he thought of some good stuff. A lot of science fiction writers were inclined more toward the right than to the left. And I remember when, I think it was the magazine of fantasy and science fiction during the Vietnam War, published all the science fiction authors and people in the science fiction world who were against the war in alphabetical order, and then there were all the science fiction authors who were for the war. So naturally Heinlein was for the war, Lester Del Rey, you know, lots of people. But on the other side, there were more, starting alphabetically with Forrest J. Ackerman.
Well, was Ackerman opposed to the Vietnam War?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's a good thing to be opposed to, I think. And Harlan Ellison?
Yes, I'm sure he was there.
Well, was he opposed, or?
He was opposed.
Oh, okay. So I think that I read Radio Free Albemuth by Philip K. Dick not long ago.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is good, actually. And prescient, because Ferris Fremont is the Russian sleeper president. He's a right-wing dictator.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking control of America. And it seems like a premonition of Donald Trump, who... Is not Donald Trump a Russian sleeper? I mean, isn't that it? Don't they have compromise on him?
He is a useful idiot in their terms. Yes.
Useful idiot. That is a Russian expression translated to English, isn't it?
That is Putin's view of Trump.
Oh, well, so... Oh, my. How does that go?
Did you see the pictures of them toasting themselves when Trump was elected the first time? Moscow was delighted. They were drinking champagne.
I don't know if I saw that in particular.
I remember that photo.
Right? Yeah. And that is why. Now, this is some Delta blues that we're listening to, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Is this like Lonnie John? What am I thinking, Lonnie?
I think it's Blind Willie McTell, but I better check and see.
Yeah. Did you see the movie? It was a vampire movie set in Clarksdale, Mississippi. It's a black drama, black leading characters.
Blind Willie McTell is the...
Yeah, it concerns a
guitar player and singer.
Yeah, it concerns a guitar player in Mississippi. And a couple of black gangsters who've just come back from Chicago, and they've got a bunch of money, and they want to open up a juke joint. But lo and behold, zombie vampires assail them.
Boy, if it isn't one thing, it's another.
I know. You think they had enough trouble with Jim Crow laws and the Ku Klux Klan and poverty and everything else. And then they got vampires to contend with. So it's just, you know, ruining their party. What's the name of this film? You must know. I already forget. I just, you know...
Well, now, which film?
Swiss cheese, to be honest.
It depends on what you prioritize.
So...
I can't remember everything.
You remember most, more than most, Hal. That's for sure. But here's a song about Oblivion. How about this? I'm going to do one more. And tell me what you think of this, Hal. Let's do a different tone of voice. Listen to the words of the song of Oblivion. Succumbing to death, Oblivion's waterfall. We whisper nature's secrets, oddly quotidian. We, the river, that flows to the sea, after all. From the sea we rise to dance our bones, to the oceanic voice we must hark. We follow the tune of necromantic tones, ghostly hearts pounding waves in the dark. Death takes from life all its many meanings, to give universal words to the silent song. Saga of the forgotten and all unseen things, river beyond knowing, as long as time is long. Oblivion does not exist. It is merely a metaphor, a tombstone you'll return to and have been long before.
Ah, so, well, out of it you come and into it you will go.
So this is ABC, that's CBS, that's NBC.
That's right. I am taking over.
All this the major networks are following this incredible political action.
Yeah, and RTV, my favorite network.
Right, yes.
Yes, I'm, I shouldn't even, I, these days the FCC, if they hear that you
the
are
FCC.
Watching. Yes, the FCC. That's right.
Cracking down on and the .fm website.
And the AKC.
Man, I don't want no FCC on
well,
me.
Well, there's the American Kennel Club as well, and they're cracking down right and left.
Throw a dog a bone.
Well,
what about Nick the KFC?
Paddywhack.
KFC, right. Well, now there's this new rival in town, Crispy Crunchy Chicken.
Crispy.
24th Street and...
KFD is Crispy
what
Fried...
What Frickin' Chicken?
Frickin' Chicken. I've been to California Chicken.
They were in that alliance, you know, when Chicken tried to get all of those merchants and stores into a group, and Good
really?
Frickin' Chicken was one of them.
But then he said nigger and everything went south.
Oh, no, this was a long time before that, and please do not say that on my show.
Oh, okay.
It, I don't know about the FCC.
I'll
but
get
there's
canceled. You won't get canceled.
The feces here. Yeah, well, I don't know. I suppose one should be free to say anything. I would
it's
prefer
like when
that.
You do an autopsy on a naked supermodel, you know, you can't help but masturbate
oh, yes,
to it.
I guess.
Well, it depends. She'd have to be pretty hot to be dead and yet sexually attractive.
Ed Gein had lower standards.
You know, went to there.
What slavering necrophilia is this?
You know, slavering necrophilia.
The world of ghouls and others who don't obey the rules.
Yeah, the world of ghouls and others who don't obey the rules. Ed Gein was a gentleman very fine.
He wasn't a gynecologist, though.
Well, he was a lampshade maker.
Yes, yes, yes.
He was a craftsman.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm sure.
You could. I mean, people did. I went to the Museum of Death in New Orleans when I was there.
Oh.
And I
you
saw...
You lived to tell the tale.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way when I came out of there. It was a grisly experience.
As in a grisly bear?
As in gristle, as in seeing the remains of murder victims and all sorts of things. That
oh, do they have, like, human body parts and jars and things?
They've got skeletons, but they've got lots of pictures, lots of newspaper and police files.
I used to really be fond of delving into all that stuff when I was younger.
Well, that was a reason I was bringing up the Museum of Death. What were you talking about just before I did?
I was talking about the Wigwam of Death.
Oh, no, you were.
Oh, yes, I was.
The wigwam of Death?
Yes, the Wigwam of Death. That's...
I'll never remember the connection now.
Yeah, well...
This wigwam just recently entered.
I was bidding on a pulp magazine that depicted two white tourists in a pot being boiled with the local infuriated natives.
And the Wigwam of Death was in the background?
Well, I think that whoever was selling this, he told me, I'm so sorry, but I just can't find this. I can't send it to you. I think that what happened is that after he actually fished out this old magazine that I was ordering, he saw, wait a second. No, I can't sell this. This is just too good. I think that's what really happened.
Don't get canceled or anything.
Well, he canceled my order, you know, and kept returning me my money. But
cancel my Rumba list.
Yeah, but I did not get the you know, the Zumba. Zumba.
Yeah, Zumba.
So is that the thing that, like, cleans up your, like, rugs?
No, that's the Roomba.
Oh. Yeah, well, you know, but the pulp jungle stories, though. We were talking about Jingle Jangle, but now we're moving on to the jungle.
like Raymar of the Jungle,
or even less
Kigar. Politically correct.
I think it's Kigar.
Bomba the Jungle Boy.
Well, I don't know.
Bunch of racist books.
Yeah.
But Kigar? You don't mean like Kazar?
No,
Kona, like Monarch Kigar. Of Monster Isle?
How's about
Kazar?
Kazar was a Marvel, right?
Yeah, Kazar is a Marvel, a muscle guy living in the jungle with the dinosaurs. And there also was Kona, Monarch of Monster Isle. Also was...
Kigar. And the curious thing is that...
I never heard of Kigar.
Well, here is a Kigar Jungle Stories cover.
Let me see him. Oh, wow. What's her phone number?
She's the Kigar Jungle Stories women.
Kigar, the jungle lord, is in a remote background, and this babe and the gorilla are in the foreground.
Yes, and the babe is always wearing a
form-fitting leopard bikini.
It's a very characteristic.
There was a girl next door.
And if she has a cohort, a
fangs of Umkulu.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But Kigar, Jungle Lord, is coming to the rescue in the background. He's brachiating on a vine, and he's got a knife between his teeth, so he'll take that gorilla. The gorilla's got her tied up, or?
Oh, yeah. Usually the women are tied up in Jungle Stories.
By a gorilla?
Well, gorillas do have their own Boy Scouts, and there's Gorilla Scouts. Were you a gorilla?
No, but I knew I found a reference to the Gorilla Police recently. A comic book panel that says, then comes the Gorilla Police, and there they are on motorcycles.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, the Gorilla Police, that's a motorcycle gang, right?
It was in this comic book, like somebody made it up. But the fact that that happened doesn't mean it didn't exist somehow or somewhere.
I do have at least one Jungle Stories in my little
Everything place. Which is yeah. possible to be believed is an image of truth, William Blake.
Oh. Well, look at this. Here's another Jungle Stories cover for you.
This time the babe is being menaced by an enormous lion. A male lion leaping with his claws extended, and she's tied up again, tied up in that suit that might be painted on. And the hero is coming from the top right corner, and he's even got one hand in the lion's mane at this point. And he's got a knife. He's going to try to kill a lion with a knife like Tarzan. Yeah, Tarzan did meant to do that on a few occasions. But nobody else could. A lion is so incredibly strong. One just doesn't have the concept of what they can do, how strong they are.
I suppose that is, they are pretty strong.
They're incredibly strong.
Yeah.
If you're standing by the lion cage and they reach through and they get you with their claw, they'll pull you through the bars of the cage, which are like, 6 inches apart.
Oh, okay. Well, what is stronger, a lion or a lion goddess?
A lion is all muscle. But, of course, the lioness is the one you really want to watch out for, because that's the one that does all the hunting and all the work.
Well, here we are. Here's a...
And the males just lie around.
It seems to me like there's a leopardess here.
Oh, yes. Well, let's see that. She's got a leopard-type bikini on. Before the word bikini was invented. Wow, it almost looks like... No, it's the same. It's the skin of the leopard as shown in this pattern up here from the leopard descending in... And she's tied. Yes, her wrists are tied to a pole. A sacrifice. And their skulls in the foreground. Kigar, Jungle Lord, in the 7 silver skulls of Lagonda.
Well, that's a good title. Maybe that's what you should read.
Novelette by Emmett McDowell, Corral of Talking Apes.